true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Now, just turning over to verse 16, John chapter 15 and verse 16. Let's read one final verse, the conclusion. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain." I asked Pastor Nick and the worship team to stay here with us for a few minutes because I want to teach you a new song this morning. Actually, it's not a new song at all. It's an old, old song, and it's so old that it's new to most of you. But back in the Civic Center days, we used to sing a song that says, "He is the vine, we are the branches." And there's still a few people around who remember that. I want to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to learn you this new song really quick. "He is the vine, we are the branches." Once through it, you'll have it. Let's sing it.
He is the vine, we are the branches. Oh, yes, he is the vine, we are the branches. Oh, yes, he is the vine, we are the branches. And I love him so, I love him so.
One time, that's very easy. You've got it already. But we need a little motion. How many of you know when God shows up, things begin moving? How many of you know things begin stirring? So here's what I want you to do. When we sing, "He is the vine, we are the branches," when we say, "Oh, yes," I want you to give me a Tiger Woods fist pump, all right? Oh, yes. You know, Alan, we haven't seen too many fist pumps out of Tiger in the last year. But how many of you know Jesus loves Tiger? How many of you know Jesus can save Tiger, and he can give a fist pump, oh yes, for something even better than a hole in one. So I want you to give me a good fist pump, and then when we sing "And I Love Him So," I want you to just lift up your branches to the Lord, and I want you to just love on him. All right, come on, let's do it. He is the vine.
He is the vine, we are the branches. Oh, yes, he is the vine, we are the branches. Oh, yes, he is the vine, we are the branches. And I love him so, I love him so. I love him so, I love him so.
He's the lily of the valley.
The valley. Oh, yes, he is the lily
give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I feel like having church this morning. How about you? God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Thank you, Pastor Nick. Thank you, worship team. In the Gospels, Jesus is alone with the disciples one day, and he asks them a question. Who do people say that I am? And the disciples answer him, Lord, some say that you're John the Baptist, come from the dead. Some people say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or another prophet. Truth is, people were saying a lot more than that about Jesus. Some people said he was a teacher. Some people said he was a sorcerer. Some people said he was a blasphemer. Some people said he was a renegade. Then Jesus asks them, but who do you say that I am? And beloved, that is the ultimate question that each one of us must answer during this life. Who is Jesus? The answer to that question is the key to abundant life here on earth, and it's the key to eternal life in heaven. One day, every one of us will stand before God, and our eternal destiny will be determined on the basis of how we answered that one single question, who is Jesus? You know, one day, everyone will realize the truth about him. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day Muammar Gaddafi will meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and he will bend his knee. But then it's going to be too late to answer life's ultimate question. Then our window of opportunity will be closed. Who is Jesus? Many have already decided to outright reject him. We know that. But many others remain undecided about him. And many remain indifferent about reaching a conclusion concerning him. But beloved, listen to me. A decision not to make a decision is a decision. The decision not to receive Jesus, the decision not to believe on him during this life is ultimately the decision to reject him for all of eternity. If you don't live with him, you will surely die without him. Peter speaks up and he makes his famous confession of faith. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're blessed, Peter, because men didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Now the question is out there in front of you this morning. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? And my prayer this morning is that you'll shut out the voices of other men. My prayer is that you'll shut out every misrepresentation of Jesus that you might have received from religion or education or Hollywood or the media, and that God the Father will reveal to your heart today the truth about who Jesus is. For the last few weeks, we've been on a journey of discovery together all about Jesus. And where better to begin this journey than to look at who Jesus says he is. We've been walking through the Gospel of John together, looking at seven unique statements of Jesus whereby he reveals himself. They're called the I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the beautiful shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, here in John 15, I am the true vine. And as we look at the words of John 15, I find four things that these words reveal about Jesus, and I want to share them with you quickly today. And by quickly, I mean sit back and relax. You're going to be here a while. First of all, as we look at John 15, I find that I am the true vine means that Jesus is the only authentic source of spiritual life. Jesus is the only authentic source of spiritual life. Beloved, you have to know that when Jesus spoke, people were crystal clear about what he was saying. One of my favorite teachers of the word is our own Pastor Nick. He has such a gift from the Lord to teach the scriptures. And if you've never been in one of his Bible studies yet, you'll be so blessed. But we had somebody visiting one day, and at the end of a Bible study, she came up to Pastor Nick and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I didn't understand a word that you said, but it was beautiful." But that's not the way it was with Jesus. People understood Jesus. He used illustrations from everyday life. He used popular sayings of the day that immediately everyone recognized. You can be certain of this. When Jesus spoke about his identity, everyone understood him plainly. Some people think that Jesus sent mixed messages about his identity as the Messiah, the Son of God. Some people conjecture that maybe Jesus was a little confused, but it's impossible to read the Gospels and come to those conclusions. Jesus' claims about himself are unmistakable. Now, whether a person chooses to receive those claims or not, that's another story. In John 6, we've already been there, people started to turn away from Jesus, not because they misunderstood him, but precisely because they did understand him. They just didn't like what they were hearing. In John chapter 10, the Jews picked up stones to stone Jesus, not because they misunderstood him, but because they understood perfectly that Jesus was making an explicit claim to be God. You see, beloved, when it comes to people's rejection of Jesus, the issue is not that people can't intellectually grasp the message about him. They understand the message perfectly. They just don't like the content. Jesus is Lord means that he is the boss of me. Jesus is Lord means that he has the right of ownership over me. It means that my only proper response is to humble myself, to bow down, and to yield my will and my life to his leadership. That is not hard to understand. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It's just hard to accept. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Now, when Jesus said, "I am the true vine," the disciples understood perfectly what he was saying. You see, the grapevine was the national symbol of Israel. What the American Eagle or the Statue of Liberty or the Stars and Stripes mean to us as Americans, the grapevine meant to the Jewish people in Jesus' day. In the Old Testament scriptures, God calls Israel his grapevine. The grapevine was stamped on their coins, on the front of the temple building, all around the great doorway into the temple was carved a massive grapevine that was covered with gold and encrusted with precious jewels. In John 15, Jesus and the disciples leave the upper room. They walk right past the temple and up the Mount of Olives, where they have a great view of that carved, gilded grapevine. And there's growing grapevines all around them. And in that setting, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." That word "true," it means authentic. It means genuine, real. If we were reading the Steve Gamble translation of the New Testament, Jesus would say, "I am the real deal." And what Jesus means is, I am the only authentic source of salvation and spiritual life. You see, in the minds of the disciples, salvation came from being Jewish. In the minds of the disciples, salvation came from belonging to the Jewish community. Salvation came from participation in the Jewish religion. And up to that moment in the world, that was pretty much right. You remember Jesus sat with a woman next to a well in John 4, and he said to her, he said, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know, for salvation is from the Jews." But he goes on to say to her, "Woman, the time is coming and has already come when people will worship neither in Samaria nor in Jerusalem, but true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that religion has never, ever been able to produce the fruit of righteousness that God desires. not Samaritan religion, not Islamic religion, not Buddhist religion, not Hindu religion or Taoist religion or tribal religion, not even Jewish religion. In Isaiah 5, there's the song of the vineyard. The song of the vineyard goes like this. My beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. He dug it up. He cleared it of stones. He planted it with the choicest of vines. Psalm 80 adds that he brought that vine, Israel, out of Egypt, and he cleared away the heathen and planted it in the promised land. He built a watchtower in the vineyard. He cut out a wine press as well. And then Isaiah says he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. He looked for justice, but saw only bloodshed. He looked for righteousness, but heard only cries of distress. When Jesus says, I am the true vine, Jesus is saying that religion, any religion, even the Jewish religion, could never produce the fruit of salvation in anyone. Salvation is from the Jews. Does not mean that Judaism is the genuine source of spiritual life. It means that Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, is the genuine source of spiritual life. The true vine is not a people or a religion. It is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of all mankind. And it's important that you and I grasp the full meaning of Jesus' words. Jesus is making his seventh and final explicit and exclusive claim. He didn't say, I am a vine. He didn't say, I am a source of spiritual life. He said, I am the true vine. I am the one and only authentic source of spiritual life. I am the way. I am the life and the truth. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, those were hard words in Jesus' day, and they're still hard words today. I'm the true vine. It means he's the only source of eternal life. A second thing I find, I'm the true vine means that Jesus desires a direct and an ongoing relationship with me. Jesus desires a direct and an ongoing relationship with me. I am the vine and you are the branches means that I must personally connect with Jesus. Back in the old days of the charismatic renewal, we used to have a saying about salvation, God has no grandchildren. In other words, it's not possible to have a third-party relationship with God. Just because your parents are connected to God doesn't mean that you are connected to God. God only has sons and daughters. He doesn't have grandsons and granddaughters. Just because your spouse is connected to God doesn't make you connected to God. God only has sons and daughters. He doesn't have sons-in-law and daughters-in-law. Now, I have to say that if your spouse is a believer or if your parents are believers, then you're very blessed because over your life is an umbrella of blessing and protection and the favor of God that you're walking in. If your parents are a believer, if your spouse is a believer, you're a marked man. You're a marked woman. It's only a matter of time. You can run, but you cannot hide. But all that matters in the end when I stand in front of him is, did I have a direct connection with him? I am the vine and you are the branches means that each one of us must connect personally with Jesus. You see, you cannot be born by physical birth into being a true follower of Jesus. You cannot be born by physical birth into being a genuine disciple. You cannot be born by physical birth into being an authentic Christian. Being born into an Italian family does not automatically make you saved, although it probably gives you an edge. Being born into an Irish family or a Filipino family or an American family does not automatically make you saved. Listen to me. Being born into a Catholic family does not automatically make you saved. being born into a Baptist family or a Methodist family or a Presbyterian family or a Pentecostal family does not automatically make you saved. Being born into Harvest Time Church, we just had a baby dedication in the last service. I'm doing almost one every week now. Jesus, help us. But being born into this church, attending this church, does not automatically make you saved. However, it will greatly increase your odds. You can't be baptized into a relationship with God by a decision your parents made on your behalf. You can't be dedicated. We dedicated beautiful little Jeremiah Ilariano at the last service. His parents brought him and presented him to the Lord, and we prayed, and God put an umbrella of blessing and favor and protection over his life. But at some point, little Jeremiah is going to have to come to receive Jesus for himself. You can't be enrolled into a relationship with God by enrolling in Sunday school. You may have been born into a Christian family, but the only way to become an authentic Christian is to personally be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. I looked that up in Greek. You know what must means? It means must. You must become his branch. You must make a direct connection with Jesus, whereby you become permanently attached to him and his life begins to flow inside of you. That moment came for me when I was 8 years old. I remember it vividly. See, I was born into a Christian family. We were God-fearing people, more or less, more on Sundays and less the other 6 days of the week. We went to church every Sunday and we heard about God, but no one ever told us that we could know God personally. And then one day someone explained to me that I could become born again, that I could make a direct connection to God, that I could know him in a personal way, that I could experience his presence, think of it, in my life and hear his voice. And when somebody told me that, I remember responding to an altar call at a church service. I came forward and I kneeled down on steps like these, and an older lady who smelled like mothballs and peppermint put her arm around me. And she led me in a prayer and I repeated the words, but you know, that wasn't my moment. I know that wasn't my moment. My moment came later that same day at night. I was lying on my bed all by myself, and I remember just lifting up my face to the ceiling, and I prayed a simple prayer. It wasn't theologically precise. It wasn't eloquent, but I lifted up my face and I simply said this: God, I want everything you have for me. And I can't tell you that a light shone from heaven. I can't tell you that my bed shook or that I heard the voice of God. I have had some pretty radical experiences with God since then, but not that night. But I can tell you that from that moment to this very moment, my life has never been the same. I made a direct connection with Jesus, the true vine, and his presence has never left me. See, you can make your own connection with Jesus, the true vine, today. Right here, right now, it's easy. It's just as simple as reaching out to him. It's just as simple as calling on his name. He's not looking for theologically precise prayers or eloquent prayers. He's just looking for a heart that reaches out and says, Jesus, I want to receive you. I am the vine and you are the branches means that authentic Christianity is not just a one-time encounter with Jesus, but a lifelong relationship with him. You see, that experience that I had when I was 8 years old wasn't the end of my encounters with Jesus. It was just the beginning. Beloved, I want you to listen to me. I am the vine and you are the branches means that Christianity, authentic Christianity, is not just a hookup. It's a marriage. A good one. Some of you are surprised I said hookup from the pulpit, right? Unfortunately for my nephews, they friended me on Facebook. I have six nephews. They were all raised in the church. And they are all living testaments right now to the truth that you cannot be born physically into a relationship with God. And so they are all going their own way like all sheep do. And so I just give them uncle-ish advice via Facebook. So one of my nephews put up a Facebook status last week, and it said this: "It's not that I am anti-marriage, I am just pro-logic." And then about 100 of his little college buddies put derogatory comments about marriage after that. And I was reading through these comments, and I was getting more and more bothered, and finally the spirit of Popeye came over me, and I said, "I've had all I can stands, I can't stands no more." And I had to chime in. But I want you to know, I truly, truly feel sorry for them. Because all they know is hooking up. All they know is using others to gratify their own selfish desires. All they know is giving away their souls one tattered piece at a time until there's nothing left. They don't know anything at all about the beauty of true love and of marriage. You know, even secular mental health professionals are worried about the effects of pornography and casual sex on the generation that's coming up now. They fear that the long-term impact of the objectifying and the fantasizing and the self-gratifying is that our young adults and our teens are becoming robbed permanently of the ability to experience genuine emotional intimacy with anybody. See, the hookups, the relationships, they don't last, but the damage they do to your soul, it just keeps giving and giving and giving. And what a tragedy to think that they're on course to miss out completely on the beauty of authentic intimacy that originates in the heart and mind, and it culminates in the physical expression of oneness in the beautiful covenant of marriage. Hookups leave you feeling dirty and empty. But genuine intimacy, true love, it leaves you feeling secure and satisfied. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. And all the married couples in Christ said, amen. Amen. But some people's notion of Christianity is like a hookup. Maybe you've had an experience at a church altar, or alone in prayer one day, or at your baptism, or at a weekend retreat. We just had our Alpha Holy Spirit weekend yesterday for those that are at our Stanford satellite, and some people met Christ in a powerful way yesterday. If you haven't been to Cleansing Stream yet, the Cleansing Stream retreat weekend is one of the most, I guarantee, powerful spiritual experiences you will have as a believer. And those experiences are great. They're memorable. They're life-changing. But real Christianity is an ongoing relationship with Jesus every day. When I was in seminary, Denise and I pastored a very tiny church in the Ozark Mountains. The people there were bona fide hillbillies. We had one family in the church that were squatters. They lived on a piece of property that they didn't own, and one member of the family always had to be there at the house so that they wouldn't lose possession of the property. So someone passed away. He didn't attend the church. I'd never seen him. He hadn't darkened the door of the church in decades and decades. But we were asked to do the funeral, and some of the family members did come to our little church. So we said, okay, we'd go. Denise and I showed up on the day of the funeral, and I had a very smart Armani suit that my dad had bought me in seminary, and Denise had a beautiful outfit that she had bought in Toronto. And we showed up for the funeral, and most of the guests were wearing bib overalls. One of these things is not like the other. And the man that was laid out in the casket, he was laid out in bib overalls, and clutched in his hands was an American Coon Hunters Association ball cap. And they got up to read the obituary on him, and they said, "Joe went home to be with his Lord last Friday morning, At age 16, he was baptized in water at the Mountain Grove Baptist Church, and then it went on to give some other details about his life and his surviving family members, and it occurred to me that all Joe ever had was a hookup. Apparently something must have happened at one moment in his heart that he wanted to be baptized in water, indicating that he was going to be a lifelong follower of Jesus. But something happened and Joe fell along the wayside. Did he go to heaven? I don't know. Only God can answer that. But I can tell you this, he missed out on a lifetime of walking in a beautiful love relationship with Jesus. And I am the vine, you are the branches, tells me that Jesus has something better in mind for me than a hookup. Jesus is not just for one or two mountaintop spiritual experiences in my life. He's for all of my life. And Jesus isn't just for Sundays either. Some people treat Sunday like their weekly hookup with God. And then they live the rest of the week like he doesn't exist. I am the vine, you are the branches, means that I need to be connected with Jesus every moment of every day. Jesus said, remain in my love, remain in my word, remain in prayer, remain obedient to me, remain in fellowship with other believers. That means every day I spend some time worshiping and praying, and in the word I'm connected with him every day of the week. When I was a kid, my parents had some fruit trees in our backyard, and I remember one year they planted a new cherry tree. And some of the kids in the neighborhood were over, and we were just playing a little football in the backyard, and one of the kids crashed into the new little sapling cherry tree and broke one of the branches. Fortunately for us, our neighbor happened to be a landscaper, and he saw the broken branch hanging there, and he came over with some wood and some wire and some special gardening tape, and he bound that branch up and he put it back together again. And you know, that branch healed and it grew and it bore fruit. But imagine if I had carried that branch inside the house and once a week I carried it out and for an hour and a half I held it up to the place where it had been broken off from. What would have happened to that branch? It would have withered and died. I am the vine, you are the branches, means that Jesus desires a relationship with me every day. Think about that. If you just let that turn around in your mind a little bit, it'll blow your mind that the God of the universe, the God who made everything, desires a personal relationship with me. What other God worshipped by any other name anywhere around the world is like that? What other Savior is there like Jesus, who not only rescued me, but he likes me and he wants to be in relationship with me every day? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled with us. What other God is like our God, Emmanuel, God with us? That's good preaching right there. I'm going to preach myself happy. I am the true vine. Thirdly, it means that Jesus has become my life. It means that Jesus has become my life. There's something implicit in this metaphor, vine and branches, that we cannot miss. What that means, I am the vine and you are the branches, what that means is that Jesus wants to take over my whole life. Last fall, we talked about Jesus getting into Peter's boat. And once Peter let Jesus into his boat, Jesus took over the boat. There's something that you need to know about Jesus before you make that connection with him. His intention is to take over. Jesus is not just an accessory. Jesus is not just something to add a little sparkle to your life. Jesus' intention is not just to complement your life or to augment your life. His intention is to take over your life. Paul said, "You're not your own, You're bought with a price. Your life is now hidden with Christ. Paul wrote, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am the true vine means that Jesus restores my life. The Bible says before I met him, I was alive physically, I was alive mentally and emotionally, but I was dead spiritually. And when I made that moment of connection with Jesus, his life flowed into me and I became a living branch. Paul said, you has he quickened who were dead in your transgressions and sins. I am the true vine means that Jesus not only restores my life, but that he transforms my life. You see, once I become connected to Jesus, the true vine, his life begins to flow through me until I become what he is. And outwardly, my life begins to bear the fruit of that. You see, he is love. And so when I make that divine connection to him, his life and his love begin to flow through me and I become more loving and outwardly my life begins to bear the fruit of that. That's good preaching right there. He's good. He's kind. He's gentle. He's righteous. He's patient. And all those things that he is, as I remain firmly connected to him, his life flows in me and I become those things too. And it becomes evident on the outside. We have lots of great stories of transformation, personal transformation here at Harvest Time. We have some great stories happening right now. But one that sticks out in my mind is a guy I went to college with named Brad. That's a picture of Brad up there. Brad is a chaplain in the U.S. Army now. Brad was raised in a Christian, truly actually a Christian family, but he was another living testament to the truth that you can't be born physically into a relationship with God. And even though his parents were lovers of God, Brad, when he got into high school, became a drinker and a partier, and he became a brawler. And he was a tough kid. He was from a pig farm in Minnesota, and he loved to fight, street fights and fights at school and bar fights, and he even punched out some cops, and he had been in front of judges time and time again. Finally, he went in front of a judge one last time, and the judge had had it and was ready to throw the book at him. Because Brad's father had influence in the community, he went into the chambers with the judge and he persuaded the judge to give Brad a choice. You can either go to jail or you can go to Bible college. Now, Brad was a tough kid, but he wasn't stupid. And so a couple days later, he shows up on the doorstep of this very, very conservative Pentecostal Bible college. Brad thought he had left Earth and gone to another planet. And about 3 weeks into the semester, Brad got what I call sloppy saved. He made a connection, a personal connection with Jesus, the true vine, and the transformation that happened in that kid was one of the most stunning I have ever seen. This tough, fighting, brawling kid became one of the most loving people I've ever seen. Brad used to go to the mall on Friday and Saturday evenings in Bangor, Maine, and he would stand in the middle of the mall and he would look for kids who were just like what he was only weeks earlier, and with tears in his eyes, he would beg them, plead with them, he'd talk with them, engage them, compel them. There was a little college and career group at the little church, and it swelled to 150 or 200 kids, each one who had been brought in by Brad. I am the vine means that as his life flows through me, it changes me and my life bears that fruit. I am the true vine means that Jesus not only restores and transforms my life, but he fills my life to overflowing. Don't even have time to elaborate, but his life keeps flowing and flowing and flowing inside of me until I'm completely satisfied, until I'm full up, until there's just no room for anything else there. And I am the true vine means that Jesus sustains my life. See, real Christianity is an experience with Jesus that just keeps getting better and better and better. His life keeps flowing and flowing and flowing inside of me, and I keep growing and growing and growing in Him. See, Moses had an experience with God that Paul described as fading glory. Moses would go up on the mountaintop and he'd be in God's presence, and his face would be physically shining after he was in God's presence. But then he would come down, and Paul said that Moses had to put a napkin over his face so that people wouldn't stare at him while the glory of God faded away off of his face. But Paul says that's not what our experience is like in Christ. He said our experience in Christ is an experience of ever-increasing glory. As we keep connected to the vine, as His life keeps flowing and we keep growing, we just keep shining more and more and more. We just become more and more beautiful. We just become more and more gracious. We just become more and more effective. Steve, my life was touched by men and women who in their senior years had walked so many years with Jesus that even though their bodies hurt and even though they were experiencing the different things that aging brings, they were more gracious. They were more beautiful than ever. They weren't crotchety. They weren't bitter. They weren't angry. They were just more beautiful than they had ever been. You know what I love about, we've been here at Harvest Time for 15 years, and you know what? I love there's so many people around here that after 15 years, Christianity hasn't become old and stale and boring. They're more excited about Jesus than they've ever been. I am the true vine. It means that Jesus is the only authentic source of spiritual life. It means that He desires a direct and an ongoing relationship with me. It means Jesus has become my life. And finally, the last thing, I am the true vine. It means that Jesus supplies me with all I ever need for ever increasing success. Pastor Nick, you can come. Jesus supplies me with all that I need for ever increasing success in life. Jesus said that when we're connected to Him and we remain connected to Him, we just keep bearing more and more fruit. I am the true vine. Every branch in me bears fruit, and my Father prunes it so that it bears more fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I ordained you to go and bear fruit, fruit that remains. Beloved, there's two words from the Holy Spirit that He wants to release over this place this morning from John chapter 15 and verse 16. The first word that the Holy Spirit wants to release over this place this morning is that God picked you. God picked you out of 6 billion people on planet Earth. God picked you. If your family are already believers, the reason that they're believers is because God picked you. Imagine that. He saved all of them just because He was waiting to get to you. If your family aren't believers yet, they're going to become believers because God picked you to be the first fruits in your household. The circumstances in your life that have brought you close to God, they have all happened because God picked you. The people that you cross paths with, that person, that friend, that coworker, that neighbor, that led you to Christ, that brought you closer to Him, God allowed you to cross paths with them because He picked you. Someone's in this church this morning listening to the good news of the gospel, and the reason you're here hearing these words right now is because God picked you. That's the first word. God, somebody needs to receive the encouragement of the Holy Spirit today. God picked you. Here's the second word. God picked you not to fail, but God picked you to succeed. You didn't pick me, but I picked you and I ordained you to go and bear fruit. What's Jesus saying? I have elected you to excel. I have appointed you to advance. I have selected you to succeed. I have prearranged for you to prosper. I have called you to be more than a conqueror. See, I am the true vine means that in my relationship with Him, He continuously supplies me with everything that I need for success in life. Every one of Jesus' I am statements point directly back to God's self-identification to Moses in the wilderness. I am that I am. And that means I am everything that you need. Peter said His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. David said, by your power, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, you will bear, listen, you're going to speak in tongues. You will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. Come on, fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. I want you to say it with me. Fruit. Come on. Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. And fruit that remains. Come on. Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. And fruit that remains in my marriage. Fruitfulness. In my marriage, more fruit. In my marriage, in my home, in my family, much fruit. In my children, fruit that remains. The true vine is going to give me everything I need to raise kids who love Jesus and become mighty warriors for Him. Come on, fruit and more fruit, much fruit and fruit that remains in my finances, in my career, in my ministry, in everything God has given me to do. Fruit and more fruit, much fruit and fruit that remains. Come on, in everything I pursue, in my schoolwork, in all of my goals, in my physical health. Fruit and more fruit and much fruit and fruit that remains. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, ready to bring forth fruit in its good season. His leaf will never fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper. Thank you, Jesus. I am the true vine. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Fruit that remains. Come on, give it up for Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Pastor Nick. I want you to sing that new song that's very old one more time, and then we're going to pray.
give a big praise to Jesus in this place. Come on, give a big praise to Jesus. Come on, give a big praise to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wondering if you would bow your heads with me, and we're going to dismiss in prayer in just one moment. Just before we do, I wonder if there's someone here and you've never made that direct connection with Jesus, the true vine. The Bible says Jesus is our great high priest. He went ahead of us and he opened the way to the Father so that we can come directly, boldly before God's throne of grace.